Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm feeling fresh. Odyssey has not had a no-sound problem for a long time. I hope that means it's fully fixed. That is awesome. We get good starts of the show. I've also rolled out Entropy. Entropy has been an old platform. It's never really been making the changes toward Odyssey. I told them eventually I'm going to have to leave if you don't have a Odyssey integration. And anyways, we have the super chats on Odyssey and they are serving us extremely well. So at this point, we are accepting super chats only through the Odyssey system. It's been working. It's been an amazing fee, probably one of the lowest in the business. So at this point, it may be the most efficient way to send me money, a super chat on Odyssey. So why not adopt it in full? Anyway, Entropy, it was hard to attract people to click on the Entropy link when it wouldn't display the Odyssey video. Back in the days when I was on YouTube, it displayed the YouTube video. End of the line, Joel says, did you know that just 12% of live streamers commit 80% of the autistic deep dives? I didn't know about this statistic. I've been totally shocked by a text about data that I've known forever. I mean, it's been my bread and butter to talk about race and crime statistics. But the guy has made some beautiful work in just expressing what it means for a black person, the murder rates in black communities, and holy shit, is that powerful. A powerful text that I will review later. But let me illustrate it to you with a very simple example. Flip a coin. What are the chances you get head? 50%. Flip it again. What are the chances you get head again? 25%? That you got head two times? Flip it again. The chances are 12.5% that you got head three times in a row. Flip it a fourth time. The chances become 6%, approximately. Well, believe it or not, 6% is approximately the number. It's the game that a black man plays in being born. It is the chance that he will end up being killed by murder. Or very close also to the number, the chances that he will be a murderer. Would you play that game? Flip a coin, get head four times in a row, you'll get murdered. That is the game that every black man plays by being born. That is absolutely shocking to me. I had not realized that the yearly statistics, because yearly statistics give you a deceptive view of what's going on, because you don't quite make the process in your mind, okay, well, this stacks every year. So you have a certain rate of murders per 100,000. Okay, but you have it the next year, and then you have it the next year. And as your life continues, you run into the odds of being in the stack somewhere. And those data are cumulative, basically. Crazy Catman says, what's the equivalent coin flip for whites, JF? I can give it to you. We have the data. So once I get to this article, I didn't do the calculation. But it's a totally lower number. I mean, it's unbelievable. Aquanote says, wow, it's almost like we got censored for saying this stuff because it points to an underlying truth. Absolutely. Go Away says, how many coins do I have to flip before I get to have sex? For you, Go Away, it's 15 coins in a row and they have to arrange in a particular order. It's very hard for you. Calamity Jen was sharing a text from 1958 today. Amazing. Predictions about what the communists want to do. It's been written by an ex-FBI agent, and people were telling me that his son is often appearing on InfoWars. I didn't know that, but by reading the text, I was having strong InfoWars vibe in terms of, you know, what is the project of the communists, the Chi-Coms, as Alex Jones liked to call them. I'm not sure they're that Chinese, but they are certainly communist. And I've highlighted 19 of those predictions, which I believe have been totally accomplished by the communists. And keep in mind, this has been written in 1958. A list of communist goals in The Naked Communist, a book by W. Cleons Carlson, a former FBI employee. 1. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Does that tell you something? Yeah. Britney Spears, myself in my life, I've been targeted with this kind of stuff. Well, members of my family have been. 2. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. I've been targeted by stuff like this in family courts. You know, they start saying, well, he's weird. Oh, he's political. Oh, he's right-wing. Let's have a psychiatric test on him. If you don't submit, they attack your family. 3. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. 4. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. That is exactly what they're doing with trans people. They are saying if the trans stays under the parents are inhibiting his true self. We know what his true self is. He wants to become a girl, and so we must intervene. 5. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. BLM, mostly peaceful protest. 6. Do away with all loyalty oaths. The left has been removing oaths and songs in schools. 7. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 8. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. 9. Infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. 10. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. 11. Control art critiques and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. 12. Break down cultural standards of morality by promotion of pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 13. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 14. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. 15. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools, on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. 16. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. 17. Discredit the American Founding Fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 18. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. 19, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Fascinating 19th point. They've all been accomplished. And in the case of 19, the left went above and beyond, as someone was pointing to me in the discussion on Twitter. Here's the link, Crazy Catman. The left didn't dismantle the FBI. They have totally taken over it, and they're now recruiting it to their own device. Absolutely spectacular that someone in 1958 would know all these things. That means that we are truly going through a programmed dismantlement of Western civilization. This was all planned by the deep state. And I had these impressions looking at the world. I was pretty sure it was the case. But the definite proof is that someone was in 1958 saying, this is what I was working at the FBI, and this is what I've heard. This is what they want to do. Okay, well, this is exactly what they've done. Holy shit. Our society is not evolving according to the needs of the people. The people that form society, they're not evolving according to political desires and persuasions. They're evolving from the top down by a bunch of people who are planning behind the veil, and in this case at the FBI, they are planning how to facilitate their takeover of society, and it's happening. Yes, it's not organic, says Rudy Lissid. Exactly. Aquanote says, the question is, who ordered the FBI to do these things? I mean, it's a system of its own. The deep state doesn't need orders. It just pursues what it has to do and to gain more power and to be able to intervene in society. And I've had the impression that a lot of the persecution I've been targeted with in my life came from a central authority, came from the deep state. Because it's amazing how people started attacking me and false allegations started stemming about me at this exact moment where I started talking politically. It's like they had no problem with me before. And at some point in my life, I started saying a couple of things that they unleashed the flood of everything they had. Attacks against my family. I would pass at the U.S. border before, no problem. And suddenly, you know, when I started being a political speaker, suddenly they would empty my car. I mean, for 12 years, I've been going through the border, showing my passport, all right, good job, bye-bye. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, women start making false allegations about me. People start kidnapping people in my surrounding. I start getting attacked, physically attacked at times in my home. People started getting kidnapping in my surroundings, and on top of it, I try to cross the border, and it's like, oh yeah, we're going to have to basically unscrew every part of the interior of your car to check if you're carrying something across the border. There is definitely a system out there that exists to oppress thinkers, and it's disgusting. Epstein's Island Paradise says, JF has braved the brutal headwinds of the intelligence agencies and NGOs. Yeah, and you know, I've gone through this by thinking I have nothing to lose. All they have to lose on their side is dishonor for their actions, for their system that they've established. And personally, I was, when I took the decision of taking that path, I knew that those were risks, and I didn't give a shit. I decided to sacrifice myself, inspired a little bit by Jesus Christ in a way, you know. All right, they want me at the cross. I don't give a shit. I will be canceled. I will be attacked. But what's the best they can do, you know? If I live far from them, if I protect my life, and it took me a couple of times to fully understand just how much I had to protect my life from them and just how far I had to drive before their reach wouldn't even come to me. But I had to see a lot of family hurt and a lot of personal hurt before I fully understand. I knew the size of the attack against me, but it's surprising just how far I had to drive to get them to stop. John Drake says, the welfare state producing so many low IQ individuals is a stumbling block that may not be overcome. Yes, demographic attacks are very hard to fight against. We'll get into the data. Elon Musk says Twitter could be cash flow break-even or positive by Q2. That would be, in a month from now or in 4-6 months from now if we're talking about the end of Q2. But that is fascinating. That would be in June. And I'm super happy about it, although I'm super disappointed that some of our friends got banned, like Mark Collette. I'm happy that Elon Musk is getting toward the break-even. I'm happy Mama JF here is coming to take some kitchen appliances from the studio, a gigantic pot that we have. I'm guessing that she wants to boil some massive amounts of potatoes or whatever. So I'm super happy that Elon Musk is going to have taken a super bankrupt institution, that an institution that was fighting against itself, that was attacking its own clients, its own customers, the people wanting to use Twitter. And we are at peak use of Twitter ever, peak interest in Twitter. That is an excellent news. A permanent wartime economy. Governments create money all the time. We do that for war, but now we're constantly in war. So the government keeps creating money forever. Bitcoin Magazine says, someone shared this in the Odyssey chat. Bitcoin Magazine, Biden admin proposes 30% tax on electricity used for Bitcoin and crypto mining. According to the New York Times, it's hindering the transition to a low-emission energy future, the White House says. Hey, Biden, how about you charge banks for all these women working in banks? Tax the woman. Number of women entering in the bank to work there. She went there by car. She's been burning fossil fuels. Tax the banks. The banks are setting up an enormous system of internet communications, brick and mortar systems. They have to build these banks out of bricks and wood and foundations. All of this consumes much more power, much more fuel than Bitcoin. So tax the banks, and then you can tax Bitcoin. I'm all good with this, but don't tax Bitcoin first. Anyway, if Biden does this, all it will mean is that Bitcoin mining will flee toward Canada. That is the current trend anyway, because Quebec has very low electricity rates. It's interesting for Bitcoin mining corporations to be located in Quebec these days. And so if Biden does this, he's just going to lose the mining aspect of the Bitcoin economy. I think it's not a very smart thing, especially since Bitcoin miners who consume a lot of electricity, they can have deals with electricity companies. They can activate their system whenever the electricity company has extra electricity that would get lost, because shutting down an electrical plant is something that is difficult to do, and it's not always done. And so sometimes plants will keep running at a background rate, even if they know they don't need the electricity that they're producing. That's just how it is. It's you lose more energy, whether we're talking about nuclear energy or fossil fuel energy. There is a reality that they have to deal with, that they'll be losing more fuel if they stop. So there is extra electricity out there, and Bitcoin is a perfect economy. It's a perfect type of need that can be fully adjusted throughout the day. It's like, oh yeah, do you have extra electricity at 3 a.m.? I can turn them on at 3 a.m. And if you give me a better rate on this electricity, I make more money on every Bitcoin. Go Away says, women prefer a slightly warmer office environment than men using less electricity for AC, meaning women in the workforce are good for fighting climate change. Well, you see that perspective from a hot country, but in a winter nation like Canada, I would say the opposite is true. Women consume more fossil fuels by wanting to be warm in the workplace. But the whole point is there's no workplace in Bitcoin. Bitcoin eliminates the need for a workplace and therefore the needs to heat or AC, whatever. So you can save a lot by moving the economy toward the Bitcoin world. Aquanote says, are there any highly reproductive QT 3.14 Quebecois women left, or have they all become interested in tourism / traveling the world? Well, it's possible to catch a Quebecois QT, like I've demonstrated with Mama JF. But I would say the feminism and boomer mentality is extremely dominant in Quebec, and on top of it, you have a massive government employment scam going on. It's very easy for women to get employed by the government and have ridiculous salaries. I mean, ridiculously favorable salaries with respect to the private sector, with a lot of supplements, a lot of generous benefits. And so that pulls women from the market of dating. So it's a problem. It's a problem if you are looking for getting a Quebecois QT, but if you go far in the regions, you will find daughters of farmers, daughters of conservative thinkers that will have been properly raised to stay away from this crap. Cloud Warmer has sent a super chat, 25 LBC, thank you so much. He says, Jeff, what's interesting to me most is what precisely gets someone completely deplatformed. There are certain thinkers and speakers who do not even advocate anything racial, hateful, etc., and yet they are also completely expunged. There seems to be approved edgy positions as well. Yeah, I mean, consider, for example, me and Nick Fuentes. Isn't it the case that on every issue, I've at most inspired a paler version of myself into Nick Fuentes? Isn't it the case that on most issues, I have a more rooted and based position than Nick Fuentes? I think it's the case. I mean, I can't, off the top of my head, I don't think that Nick Fuentes has a more rooted, I'm using kind words here, soft words. I don't think he has a more rooted position in principle than I. And yet I can survive on Twitter, he can't. That's because, of course, there's a phrasing. There's a way where you approach the phrasing and you soften it a little bit for the censor, you soften it for the leftist. And I know how to phrase things to get out of trouble. Perhaps he doesn't care. Perhaps because, you know, when he came back to Twitter, it would appear that he's been saying very quickly, very provocative things. So it is. It's his choice. But I tend to phrase things in a softer way that will drag less attention, of course, on the internet. But I like to be the kind of pillar holding these ideas and holding them forward on any platform that I can be given access to. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, with a home crypto mining business declared, you can write off expenses and depreciation, but now the IRS knows you are accruing crypto. It is like registering firearms once whatever you registered becomes illegal from creeping laws. The state performs an enforcement action on registered people. Yeah, there's a lot of things like this. I would love to tell you something, but I don't want to reveal too much details. But let me tell you, there are certain tax benefits that you're better off not taking. Because some of these tax benefits is, oh yeah, we're going to give you $2,000 tax benefit for the first home that you purchase. Okay. But now you are registered as having a home. And that home, one day, if you transfer it, there will be a capital gains tax on it. There's these dirty ways in which the state gets at you. They get the knowledge they need. They give you a little reward to attract you. But it's all, you would think that they're doing this for helping families, you know? But it turns out it's all information gathering. And when you registered for the first-time home buyer credit, well, then your house is registered. Eventually, they will send evaluators to your house to say, oh, your house has gained value. And now your house has gained value. You have more taxes to pay on property tax. And if you do transfer it, you have more taxes to pay on the capital gains tax. This is all problematic. It sucks. It sucks that the world is that evil. There's a hot discussion going on Twitter following something I said. First, Nikoko, Petite Nikoko, has done some research on the woman I showed the video of yesterday. Eric says, you don't pay capital gains on a primary residence. You don't, unless you sell it. You don't if you give it to your children. That is true, and that's. I'm thankful that this is still there. But you do if you trade it or switch to... If you sell it and if you have a second residence, you sell your first, you may not be... you still don't. You still don't if you sell... If you sell a primary residence, you don't pay capital gains tax. I'm surprised about this. At least in BC. That is a surprise to me. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's how it is in Canada. But in any case, there's ways they can get at you through property tax, because now they will update the value of your property and you're going to pay more in property tax. John Drake says, speaking of capital gains, Biden wants to double the tax to 40%. I can hear the capital fleeing the U.S. from here. Yeah, capital gains tax is... The advantage that you have, I don't know what it is in the U.S., but in Canada, it is a very advantageous system. It's basically the only way you can get rich. It's by buying something low, selling high, because only 50% of your capital gains gets really taxed. And so that's like, it's, in other words, you get rich twice as fast if you go the capital tax route rather than employment route. So any effort that you may deploy in employment is shut down by the state. Any effort that you may make in the industry and gaining value for your stocks and assets and bitcoins, that allows you to get much richer, much faster. There is a discussion. So Petite Nikoko, the girl that was crying because she was closing in on 36, and she was like, I have no time, I'm not fertile enough, I'm not young enough, I'm not rich enough, I may have never have babies, the IVF clinic has been a trouble, her embryos have been eliminated. So Petite Nikoko has made some research on this girl, and she says, it's not her fault, blah, 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 she has a genetic disorder that leads her to be infertile, and her husband divorced her, so it's not her fault. Stop shaming her. And I think there's still some shaming worth doing. I said, I think it's still fair to say she would be in a better place if encouraged to have her babies in her 20s, infertility or not. Some degree of shaming is justified, not so much for her, but so that other women not repeat her mistakes. She should have been at the IVF clinic at 22. That is a problem. One of the problem is that people delay baby making until it's really your last chance. But when it's your last chance, any error in the process, any genetic disorder you may have that makes you a little less fertile, but not fully infertile, any issue that shows up in the chain will be dramatic. It wouldn't be that dramatic if you learn that you're somewhat infertile, but possibly rescuable through IVF process if you're 20 when you learn this, because then you have time to react. But if you learn these things in your 30s, then you are stuck against the wall. Martin Stepan decided to adopt an even stronger position. He says, I don't support IVF, though, to prevent dysgenics. If you can't breed naturally, you shouldn't. And some people took issue. A couple took issue with this on Twitter. Martian Orthodox came in and says, my wife, Becky, Becky is here. He says, my wife, Becky, has a medical issue that is no one's fault and has no correlation to behavior or dysgenic traits generally. She is not some libs of TikTok numbskull. I will put her value up against anyone you care to mention. She doesn't need your analysis, nor do I. Well, to be fair to Martin Stepan, he didn't throw this analysis at her. You are deciding to take an issue with this. But Martin Stepan wasn't sending this tweet to her. Martin Stepan has a position about natural selection. And so Martin Stepan properly responded, I wasn't giving it to you in particular. Anecdotes are what they are and trends are what they are. Please don't conflate the two. And the wife, Becky, Becky comes in. Oh, no, you're so right. My bad. Guess I'll just die childless. Thank you so much for the perspective. Well, you know, I think I will stand by Martin Stepan here. And it's not against Becky. It's sad what's happening to Becky. But I would hope that we're in a society that instead of cuddling those bad feelings, tells Becky straight in the face, look, the world is unfair. Natural selection is unfair. I'm sorry about the suffering you're going through. But the reason we have become what we've become is that some people don't reproduce, and that's just how it is. I will note that, you know, Martian Orthodox says her medical issue is not related to other dysgenic traits in general. But it may be related to a dysgenic trait specifically. It may be related to a gene that makes women more likely to be infertile. And that we don't know. So my conclusion on this was to say, however painful it might be, Becky must understand that the reason life improves is that life is unfair. You can't get your cake and eat it too. And you can't get natural selection without injustice. It is dramatic for her, but that is just what it is. And Martian Orthodox answered to my conclusion. He said, Becky and I are both right-wing extremists with 95th percentile IQ, no depth, and 19 acres of land. So we're going to do what we have to do medically. Whether you online atheists / autist world savers approve or not, sit your fucking ass down, son. The thing is, I don't care. Do whatever you have to do. So I said as a conclusion, sure, do what you can to survive and reproduce. I don't object. I don't object to you trying all your IVF that you want. The question is, can you with these IVF techniques not only get to a point where you get a baby or you get two babies, but where these babies will be rich enough to have their own babies and their grandchildren will be rich enough to have their own babies also through IVF? Or that perhaps the genetic disorder goes away in one of your children and that children ends up having a lot of natural babies. Rodita Sid says he called you son. Maybe you can inherit his 19 acres of land. Well, he just answered another thing 30 minutes ago. If you want to save the West, you and your fellow travelers might consider being a little more circumspect about how wide the net of aspersions you cast and how performatively hardcore you are, because it can alienate allies. Well, isn't that interesting? A critique of my hardcoreness. I guess I will want to answer this. I am not performatively hardcore. I believe people are entitled to the truth. I have no project of persuasion. I am an agent of truth coming to tell people what others want. I do not care about allies. There won't be anyone left to ally to in 100 years from now. That will be my answer to him. Someone said he's a Christ cuck. Yes, that sounds very much like a Christ cuck in the sense that he is still deluded and, oh, well, shut up about this truth because it's not looking good. It's an optics-based argument. I think that the people is entitled to have someone on the public space tell others the truth that they won't say or they don't want to hear, and I will stand as this pillar of truth forever, no matter how you can consider in your pragmatic view of the world and arguments and 6D chess and what about my allies. Hopefully your allies aren't this doctor in an IVF clinic who was inseminating all the females. Go away, says JF. I donate sperm that is used at an IVF clinic. I fully support IVF as it has allowed the replication of my genes at rates otherwise impossible. Good for you. Good for you. Adair says, I thought his comment was towards the couple, not JF. Seems like it would apply more to them. Well, he was answering to my tweet, so I don't see... how it would have been a message directly to the couple, unless the couple is this girl. But there's no evidence that the couple is this girl. The evidence is that if they are a couple, they wouldn't be this girl because this girl is divorced. So as far as I'm concerned, Martin Stepan was replying to my tweet. They decided to take a personal issue with it. And so to me, no, there's no sign of impoliteness here. Micronova says, excellent official statement. Your case officer is pleased, but the potential arresting officer is sad. They have to find another advancement evaluation number. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Adair says, so that I read, California understands that lowering the fertility of its own citizens isn't enough to ensure the success of the left's replacement project for the U.S. They would also need to lower the fertility of right-wing states who don't suffer from leftist anti-natalist policies. Look at this. California on Wednesday suspended a $54 million contract with Walgreens over the pharmacy chain's decision not to distribute mifepristone in at least 20 states, including some where abortion is legal. So Walgreens decides to adopt a state-by-state policy where in certain states it is considered too controversial, it's not worth it to do that business. And California is saying, hey, for your behavior in that state, I will punish you in California. That is an ingerence, a commercial ingerence, interstate, undue ingerence into the affairs of another state. I don't know if there will be place for a lawsuit here, but I have no doubt that the Supreme Court would conclude on this, that this is unfair, that this is an unfair reason. If the state of Texas cannot sue California for running illegal elections or fraud in their election, then certainly California has no business denying a business to corporations because of their decisions in other states. Men Like Gods says, without IVF, there would be no Nick Fuentes. I didn't know about this. Well, yeah, you guys told me this, but I mean, I didn't realize this. Talking about IVF, I had not put Nick Fuentes on the balance, you know? I had not realized that we are talking about something that has effects in the real world. This scene is pretty scandalous. I mean, it's a child who is on a leash by his mother. And, you know, I said he must be, at most, 6 years old. People are telling me, no, he's 4 or 5 years old. Anyways, no matter, you know, approximate age, somewhere around 4 or 5 years old. And at 4 or 5 years old, he's breaking everything in a grocery store. And when the cashier bans his mother from the grocery store because she's been too disruptive with her child on a leash, he says, yo, shut the fuck up. A 4 or 5 year old saying, yo, shut the fuck up. Listen to this.
Just drop everything.
Well, we
need
to stop.
No, you were banned last time after the leash.
So the cashier is like, you were banned last time. The child is pulling stuff, destroying stuff.
What are you talking about? What manager? What store manager?
See, he's on a leash. She's holding a leash to control his body. And she's like, what do you mean you banned me before?
We need to get off. We need to get off.
And already he's saying a shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up to a cashier.
Stop.
Is this the express line?
No,
there's no express line.
I need to get my
leave.
Stuff.
No, leave.
You're banned from the store.
Why
am I
banned?
Because it's his, what he's doing, and you're not doing anything about it.
What can I do? If I hit my kid, what's going to happen?
And what's the first thing on her mind? Instead of, don't bring your kid in public if he's destructive like this. She's like, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to beat him? If I beat him, I will end up in jail. Well, where do we begin? Where do we begin? First thing is, you don't bring your child if he is not too prepared to act civilly in the world. You concentrate on raising that child to the best of your ability until he's not destructive anymore. If that moment is never reached, you keep him home.
I'm gonna go to jail.
You don't come
right?
In. This is called jail. You're letting him do this.
I'm gonna go to jail.
Leave.
I can't do that.
Leave.
I'm never gonna hit
Leave
my kid.
Store.
I need to get my stuff.
You're not getting it.
I'm never gonna beat my kid. No one is talking about beating your kid. First, you're already abusing your child with your leash. So, clearly, a child who is between 4 and 5 years old, who's already yelling, shut the fuck up, has been abused. he has either seen abuse of someone else or he has been abused himself. Someone yelled in front of this child, shut the fuck up. And someone yelled this pretty much repeatedly. Because before a child will record a sentence like this, it will have to be exposed to that sentence very often. And in fact, the fact that he's deploying that sentence in a confrontational situation shows that he has learned that in a confrontational situation, that is the appropriate response. So you're already abusing your child. No one is asking you to beat him further. We're asking you to keep your child at home until he is properly behaving in society.
No, shut the fuck up!
And see, this guy is trying to explain, you have to leave, you have to go. And the child is, yo, shut the fuck up. There's someone in the surrounding of this child who has been yelling, yo, shut the fuck up to him. Maybe a grandmother around, maybe the lady there, maybe a husband. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, have you ever watched the Vice documentary on YouTube about Liberia? If you think North America is bad, check that out. It's almost like another planet. I haven't watched it. I'll try watching it. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I wanted to add to the parent comments from your previous stream. Becoming a parent really does give you a purpose and frees you from many of the vices of modernity. The regular chat's comments and yours about the happiness children give the happiness children give cannot be understated, even for their grandparents. Absolutely. It's amazing that we've talked about this yesterday and a lot of comments came in, and some people even in the comment section were commenting further. It's absolutely beautiful. The feeling of having children around and eventually, yes, when it is grandchildren, is absolutely awesome. It is a totally different mindset in which your brain gets. You are dedicated to how do I improve their future? How do I think of things ahead so that they have an easier life than me? How do I prepare them for this life? Let's continue. Go away sending a video, but no, I have no time to review new videos. Send it to me before a show and I'll be happy to include them.
Please. I can't get my stuff.
No, you can't get your stuff because you are exposing people to destruction and violence. She cannot believe. She believes that she's entitled to get her stuff. I cannot get my stuff. No, you can't get your stuff because you're carrying a living risk with you. And you're not controlling that living risk such that he is destroying the property of other people. Let's talk about data. The text comes from this guy. I had seen his tweets many times pass in my feed. But I don't know the guy, and I think he's recently started a Substack, datahazard.substack.com. And oh my God, is he writing well, and he made me realize stuff about data that is absolutely shocking. First, just visually, look at this. You know the deaths by police that the left keeps talking about? Year after year, it's the little gray spot here. For the black population here and for the white population, of all the deaths by violent means, deaths by police is this phenomenon right here in gray. Not the yellow to the right, not the orange to the left, gray. That is what the left wants you to focus and obsess about. If you are truly caring about black lives, one thing would attract your attention here. This orange part of the violent deaths, which represents year after year, something like 77%, 79%, 80%, 80%, 74%, 75%. And eventually, around the year 2013, 74.3%, and back in the 70s, 80%. This is a place of action. In blue, you have the suicides. So one thing I want to notice first here is that the white populations, this is all relative, so it's not an absolute raw number view, it's a relative percentage view of the deaths by violent means. The white population does much more suicide than murders. The black population does much more murders than suicide. That is a first thing. The gray part is very similar across the white and black population. You can see it slightly thicker in the black population, which should be explained by the fact that they engage in so many murders. And so they end up more in trouble with the police and more likely to die from a police arrest. And in yellow here are the undetermined deaths, deaths where it could be seen that it was a violent mean, but it was unknown if it was a suicide or a homicide. The means, the reason for the death have been undetermined, and the reason it's interesting, it's to think, well, those could all be murders, or those could all be suicide if we just didn't have the investigatory tools. But overall, the fact that it's a small proportion of the violent deaths leads me to believe that whatever they are doesn't matter to the overall state of affairs. Go Away says, is all suicide classified as violent? And David Smith is raising the problem of fentanyl. I don't know if someone who was to die of an overdose of fentanyl, would they end up in those statistics? Because if they don't, then that would mean we're actually seeing even an underestimation of just how many suicides there are in the white population, and the blue segment would be bigger. But that is so fascinating, and that's just one of the figures that the guy is giving on his Substack. I said on Twitter, in more than a decade being interested in racial crime statistics, I've never read such a stunning and important text. 4.4% to 7.2% of yearly black male deaths are homicides. Imagine being in a community where dying by murder is a likely outcome of your life. This is the reality for these communities. I once interviewed a black man and asked him whether he was scared of the possibility of a civil war in America. He had answered, well, as far as I'm concerned, we've been in a civil war for at least a century. The article goes in depth, demonstrating that incarceration of criminals is the only approach with a demonstrated effect on these statistics. I mean, look at the graph of deaths by murder, which shows the ridiculously small number of deaths caused by police interventions. Read this article and spread it around. Tolerating criminality as the left wants to do is doing a terrible disservice to these communities. T.S. Apostolos says, JF, did you see the Spencer/Destiny No Jumper recently? They sort of made this argument for what BLM is really about. I didn't, because I don't watch Destiny stuff. He is on my blacklist, because when I challenged him on phenotypes and race, and he told me I will do some research and come back to you, because he wasn't prepared for a debate back in the Bloodsports days. He wasn't prepared to answer my challenge to him. And what he did is he went away, and instead of doing research to address my concerns and my critiques of him and his statements, he went out there and launched attacks against my family and me, and participated to all these attacks around the Daily Beast, and just because he didn't have an argument. So When you attack my family, I do not watch your content anymore. I have been very clear about this. The next time I talk about Destiny will be the day he dies. I will write his obituary, and I will highlight in his obituary how much of a useless person he was to the world. So I will, if he's dead, I will watch the debate maybe. But is he dead? Has he died yet? Because I'm just doing obituaries when you're on my blacklist. I'll be waiting. Same thing for Rollo Tomasi. This guy, I think we should have an obituary relatively soon. It's going to be a beautiful obituary with pink flowers to highlight his femininity, the femininity of his life contribution. T.S. Apostolos says, I guess I kind of knew this, JF. Apologies, sir. Haha. Well, yeah, I'm very serious about this. I mean, if you can't have an intellectual debate and you demonstrate this by going for ad hominems, Go Away says, an obituary soon. Is that a threat? No, Rollo Tomasi doesn't need threats to easily estimate that given his age, there will be a time for an obituary in the next few decades. That is just a fact of life. You know, if you take the average life expectancy, we're going to get to the obituary quicker than Destiny. That would be my bet. 4.5% in the demographics of American murder. Will one out of every 22 black males commit murder? Public data from the FBI and CDC makes a compelling case. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being at the hospital, seeing 22 new black male babies all lined up? One of them would become a murderer statistically, unless things change. But one of them out of their life, throughout their life, will end up committing a murder. Out of 22 born black males, one of them will commit a murder. If statistics stay the same, but, you know, in years and years, we haven't seen massive shifts in those statistics. And so there's no reason why they would change. 4.5%, the number that summarizes the past 2.5 years of post-BLM life in America. But why? 4.5% of black males will commit murder in their lifetime as of 2021 if we choose to do nothing about the ongoing epidemic of violence. 4.4% to 7.2% of yearly black male deaths are homicides every single year. So if you care about black lives, that is a point where you would want to work. You would want to reduce the murders of black males. Speaker's Corner says, JF, do you pay for any content online? If so, which content creators are they? No, I don't have, I don't do donations to creators. I have my Twitter subscription, so I'm donating to Elon in a way. Thomas O'Ward thinks he's been on my blacklist. No, Thomas, you've not been on my blacklist. You've been on my ban list, maybe because you were annoying in the chat, but that is not my blacklist. My blacklist is something much more serious. 4.35% is the backward-looking 60-year murder victimization rate of black males age 15 to 74. These are the low end of what the rates could be in reality, given the large number of unknowns in the FBI data and the large number of indeterminate violent deaths coded by the CDC. So given the fact that some murders don't get solved, given the fact that some murders don't specify the race of the perpetrator or the victim, we end up with really a lower bound on the phenomenon. 4.5%, a lower bound on this. Implied percentage of the population that has committed murder by that age, So as you progress to their age, starting at 14 years old, you start having a distinction between the black males and the white males. Look at the distinction developing further and further as you cross into 20, 25 years old, 30 years old, 35 years old, and you have a rate that seals around 3.5% at 40 years old. Of course, it will keep going, but it's not on the graph. But look at the white ceiling at 0.27%. At 2021 rates, over 2% of black males are projected to commit murder by the time they reach 25 years of age. About 0.27% of white males are projected to commit murder by age 35. Homicides include both the murders by people and legal interventions by police. However, the legal interventions are a very small proportion that can basically be ignored with respect to the size of the violent victimization from other individuals of the community. 3.93% of black males aged 15 to 74 were murdered in 54 years. This is equivalent to a 4.35% murder risk across 60 years. Taken together, it becomes impossible to deny the fact of the 4.5%. This is not a short-term aberration. These data go back almost an entire lifetime. So that is the image I decided to illustrate. It's quite shocking to anyone who thinks this could change. Why didn't it change in the 90s? Why didn't it change in the 80s? What worked? That is a fascinating aspect of the text. It shows that ultimately what works is mass incarceration. In short, mass incarceration. At the height of incarceration rates in 2000, America also saw its lowest rate of violent deaths in recorded history. Removing criminals from society is the obvious solution because it obviously works. Look at this. You know the low that we might perceive here? The 70%, the moment for which there's a 75% instead of 80%, that corresponds to a moment at which we were doing mass incarceration. So when we reach the peak of incarceration, we also reach the lowest murder rates. When you put murderers in jail, you end up reducing murders in society. There's much analysis that continues here beyond the 4.5%. For blacks in America, many states have seen a doubling, 100+% in murder victimization. Oregon's rate has tripled, and Alaska nearly quadrupled. While not as bad for blacks, whites have not avoided the almost universal increase in violence. So someone was asking earlier, JF, what would be the coin flip for a white male and whether they will end up getting murdered? Well, let's take the data here. A 4.35% murder risk. I'm going to eye it, okay, because he doesn't give it. I'm going to eye it from the chances of committing a murder, okay? So we have the 4.5% for black males. White males, murderer per 100,000. Eyeing it, what do we see? Well, we have numbers that are basically 20 times. That's 20 times approximately, 20 times, 20 times. So if you are 20 times more likely and it brings you to 4.5%, I would take the 4.5% and I would I would say you're 20 times less, so I'm going to multiply the denominator by 20. So instead of over 100, 4.5 over 100, we're going to do 4.5 over 20 times 100. That brings us to 0.22%, which is roughly what was in the article. So we hide it well because it was 0.27 at a certain age. So using 0.2% chance of being murdered. So I said four coin flips. If they all turn head, a black man dies. That is the chance that you have when you are born as a black male to end up being murdered at some point in your life. If we were to say how many coin flips would be needed to reach a 0.2% chance ratio, that would be 1, 50, 2, 25, 3, 12.5, 4, 6.25, 5, 3.13, 6, 1.5, 7, 0.7, 8, 0.35, 9. So the white male at birth is flipping a coin 9 times. And if he gets head on all those 9 times, he will end up getting murdered. That would be your odds ratio. Whereas the black male is flipping only 4 times. And if he gets head on all these 4, he would be murdered. That is the comparison to make. So 4 coin flips versus 9 coin flips. It's much harder to get 9 times in a row heads than it is to get 4 times in a row head. Go away sends a super chat. He says, when I use crime stats, rate that cops get killed by blacks versus whites, in a conversation with a friend about systemic racism, he said it would make sense that in a society, an oppressed group would be overrepresented in violence of all types, particularly against cops. For instance, Israel/Palestine. Thoughts? Well, you maybe. I mean, it's something that you would need to demonstrate. But if you want to drive the debate away from this, bring it back to what it's about, ultimately. There is more murder within the black population onto black victims than there is against white victims, and there is between whites killing each other, and there is between whites killing blacks. So bring it back to the center of the conversation that, hey, if we're talking about black lives and saving black lives, we should address black murders. That is the, like, bring this image in your debate. If someone is saying, well, you know, this gray area here can be explained by all of my social sciences and all my history lessons. I've been at the university for 7 years and I can give you a very good explanation for these gray squares right here. And you can say, okay, nice explanation, bro. Let's talk about the orange part here. That will shut down the leftist pretty quick. In fact, I'm thinking about using this graph in future debates. It's just too visually stunning. It shows the whole obsession is totally misdirected by the left. Micronova, okay, I'll delete this chat right here. Okay, so that is it for us. So I highly recommend people spread this Substack article. It is one of the most beautifully written race crime stats analysis that I've seen in my career. I don't know the guy, by the way, but it's just beautiful text. McConnell treated for concussion after suffering fall at DC hotel. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is being treated for a concussion and is staying at a hospital for observation after a fall at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Okay, Purpalm says, did I miss here? I thought you say 0.02%. No, 0.2%. Was the likelihood of being murdered as a white man, and therefore it would take 90 coin flips. You definitely misheard. So I said it is 0.2%, and therefore it would take about 9 coin flips, flipping on head, to reach 0.2% chance being realized. That was my quick calculation by just head, you know, just quick calculation live here. Maybe I'm wrong by 1 coin flip, but forget about 90 coin flip. That is not my statement. But I acknowledge that when I say 9 coin flip, you might hear 90 coin flip. It's not so different. Maybe my pronunciation must be clearer here. U.S. obtains warrant to seize Boeing 737 owned by Russia's Rosneft. The United States obtained a warrant to seize a Boeing 737 aircraft owned by Russian oil company Rosneft that is valued at over $25 million. It's so so disrespectful. Like, what if Russia was to start taking everything they can from the U.S.? You'd be at war with them? Well, you have no business taking the values, the assets of Russia. What the fuck are you doing? Like people were pointing out, they didn't even do this to the Nazi regime, to the Germans in World War II. Why are you doing this? It's because we are in this whole extremely feminized environment of, I'm going to take your stuff. Ah, I'm going to break everything in the house. And it's like, when do we get back to honorable war? A column of your army, a column of my army, and we shoot at regular intervals, you know, until there's one line standing and there's no line standing on the other side. What else do we have in the news? Pentagon blocks U.S. sharing info on Russia to an international court over blowback fears. The Pentagon is blocking the Biden administration from sharing evidence of alleged Russian war crimes with the International Criminal Court based in The Hague over concerns that a precedent could be set for Americans to be prosecuted for their military action. Fascinating. That is one thing they won't do. See, that they can steal planes to corporations. That is okay. Just because you're a Russian corporation, here, I'm taking your plane. But they won't bring evidence of war crimes that Russia would have committed. Because if they do this, they know very well who's the greatest committer of war crimes on the planet. It's the Americans. The American government, the American military. So they know that they're in trouble. If they do this to Russia, eventually Russia will be able to do this to America. They will say, hey, we got these pictures from what you did in Iraq and what you did in Syria. And so they really don't want to cause trouble here. Oh, you know, Zelensky, just shut up with your war crimes talk and your pictures of Bucha, you know, you remember the butchery of Bucha, the Bucha slaughter. The Americans are not interested at bringing this to international court because they're not interested at this being pulled against them eventually. White sends $101. He says, Jeff, I just watched JFG Tonight 787. And you are right that blockchain thing is a good way to do costly shitpost. It actually seems better than the costly shitpost I make through Super Chat. Also, when was the last time you ate Swiss chard and fennel? Swiss chard and fennel, I don't eat much. But Mama JF sometimes will eat some of this. So sometimes I buy those for Mama JF, but I've not been eating this for a long time. Well, maybe sometimes Mama JF will prepare a recipe that contains these things. So I guess I have eaten each of these things probably within the last 2 months. Mikronova says, I totally have war crime evidence, JF. My girlfriend in Canada has the evidence. USA prosecutors. That is basically what they're pulling. They're saying, well, this court is important, an international court, but we will not make the allegations. But here we have, these allegations seem very serious. You should listen to this. Okay. So White was saying, when you pay for it, it's not spam. And now White has decided to spam. He is spamming me with money. But see, White, you are spamming me with money. It's like a shower of money that's falling over me. I will never be disappointed with this. I'm sure the people of the chat can fully tolerate your multiple super chats that you're bombarding me with. Make it rain, baby, says go away. See, that's the kind of spam I will take forever. In fact, White, since you are so well off, since you have so much money, I could offer you a service because you like to spread things out there. If you pay a certain amount, and let me tell you that my fees on this are $7. If I do this, I have to pay $7. I can take your spam and I can take your super chat. And if you say, Jeff, this super chat, I would like to see it as a Bitcoin ordinal. I can totally take your statements and write them to a Bitcoin ordinal if you want. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to have to spend some time working on it, and it's going to cost me $7. But you seem to be into spreading your spammy seeds all over the place. Well, you know, do it at the Bitcoin blockchain level, just like I suggested in episode 788. You'll be able to spam to the entire future of humanity. White in his many super chat has said, Jeff, on JFG Tonight 788, you said if you pay for it, me spamming with super chats isn't spamming. Are you okay with this? Fart. And it seems that people have been inspired by the fart finale of White. And he sent, for each of these sentences that I just read, he sent $21. And now people have been absolutely inspired by the farts of White. Chef Marv sent $5. He said, pee is stored in the balls. Not technically true, but I can imagine a situation where that would be the case in a parallel universe, perhaps a different road taken in evolution. And in fact, what is it called? Let me find the English word for this. In English, it's a vessie in French. What the bladder. Isn't the bladder a ball? The bladder is nothing else than a ball with an inside that just has less matter. And even Micronova was moved by White. And he sends a super chat that says, poo, poo, poo. We're getting spammed, but we're getting spammed with money. So all of this poo, poo, poo spamming and this crap that you guys are sending is helping fund a show that will be extremely intelligent for the rest of the month, you know? So You go ahead. I will read poo 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 just however many times you pay me to do it. White 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 sends a $77 super chat. See, 77, that's a very different sounding thing than 101. He says, I was thinking of you getting you to write something for me for the blockchain, but I wanted to watch what you did with the TRP first. Absolutely, I'm still on it. It's a text that I'm taking the time to write properly, but I'm still on it. I'm working on it every day. White 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 sends $17. He says, could we genetically modify people to store pee in the balls? That would be less pee. It would also have an issue with keeping the sperms alive because I think they would explode in a pee environment. But it's not technically impossible. They've done, you know, mosquitoes with, well, flies. Flies with legs on top of their eyes. So they change the position of things through genetic modification. It will be quite more complex to do it with a human. Let's not forget that the evolutionary origins of these two organs are quite different. The bladder probably evolves, you know, somewhere between aquatic animals and terrestrial animals. It starts being, because I'm sure that, I think that there is no accumulation, there is no particular accumulation of urine in the fish. So I think they might just leak it constantly. Not sure. I could be corrected on this. So the bladder would appear with terrestrial life, I'm guessing. Whereas the balls, they get out into a scrotum. I'm thinking salamanders, do they have balls? Frogs, do they have balls? Reptiles, do they have balls? It might get into a scrotum within the mammalian part of the tree of life. So anyways, developmentally, it's going to boil down to very different parts of the body, and storing pee in the balls would probably be easier to do surgically than genetically. That's my guess. Surgically, we can do pretty much anything you want. We could take, first we would take the balls. We would probably want to blow them with a puff of air so that they expand, so that they become kind of a sac. Then we would take the outputs from the kidneys. We could make a little tube. Perhaps we would reuse your urethra or maybe some other tube that we catch in other part of your body. We would plug it into the balls, and then the balls would inflate with pee. That would be extremely hard, but doable in principle. Cloud Warmer says, I object to the creation of such inverse balls bladder abomination. It's a very tempting objection, you know, but you're not paying as much as White White White. If your objection was backed by all the money of White White White, perhaps I would certainly side with you. But White 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 gets what he wants. He is the customer. He has paid for the surgical description, and I deliver. The definition of gender, I was looking at this today because someone was saying gender is not binary, but a spectrum of mental and emotional traits. You can have XX and XY chromosomes and various combinations of them, plus VY and ZX chromos, or maybe XVY or ZZX. And it's like, nah, even the definition of gender in some still honest dictionaries, because there's a lot of dictionaries out there, they have totally kneeled to the left. But I found this in Merriam-Webster online, I believe. The second definition of gender, the behavioral, cultural, or psychological traits typically associated with one's sex. And so according to this definition, if sex is binary, gender is binary also. That doesn't mean the distribution of those traits will be binary. The distributions, I mean, the thing is, they keep showing this curve, which is a totally made-up curve. This is not data. This is a totally made-up curve. If you were to look at real things like beard having, do you really think you would see, there are some females who have a very little beard, but then most females have a little beard. And then you get into rarer and rarer females having less and more and more beard. And then there are some females who are totally within the male category in terms of having beard. No. If you were to just take one trait, you would have a very strong bimodal distribution. It would be like, almost all males are here in testosterone. Almost all females are here in testosterone. And maybe there's one or two that get lost here in the middle, but, and that's just for one trait. The thing is, if you multiply these curves by multiple traits, if you have two traits that are like this and you do this point multiplied by this point multiplied by this point on another curve, this point multiplied by this point on the other curve, you basically will have no middle left. Because small numbers multiplying small numbers gets down, down, down. High numbers multiplying high numbers gets up, up, up. Or if it gets down less. Because of this fact, it doesn't require, even if you had curves like this, I would tell you, give me three curves like this from three different traits, and I will prove to you that males and females are completely different categories. The multiplicative relationships of probability of across various traits will lead to two distinguished nucleus that could be readily identified by any algorithm. Males and females are a thing. White says, I sent a regular chat that read, it's not spam, so does that mean it was supposed to be a super chat? This rectifies that. You know what? Actually, I saw your name pass in the regular chat, and I thought this is an irregularity. I know that White never sends regular chats. He takes a pride to never be mixing in with the everyday people of the regular chat, the poor section of the chat. And I was like, I don't want to read it. Now that you mention it, I feel comfortable talking about it because you've sent your $31 super chat. But I was like, I don't want to leave it. If it was an accident, perhaps it was an accident. And I thought, I'm not going to leave a public trace that White used the regular chat. Because I know he doesn't like this. I know he told me before, I always send just super chats. Dems blast the threat of so-called journalist as Tybee Schellenberger exposed state-sponsored thought policing. So the government is nervous. Rep. Stacey Plaskett refers to Matt Tybee and Schellenberger as so-called journalists. Of course, they are really only journalists when they side with the left's project of shutting down and favoring themselves. When they turn out to reveal real attacks that were made on free speech in America, they are so-called journalists. Cloud Warmer says, are you for sale, JF? Do you have a price? How much make you work on bringing TRP to reality? I'm for sale to a certain extent, but not on TRP. I will not accept any amount of money that would revert our genetic existence. Now, I'm for sale in the sense that you can send me super chats and I will answer these super chats. That's the first aspect that I'm for sale. I'm for sale in the sense that if you are a Patreon or Subscribestar donor and you write to me in DM, Jeff, I would like you to talk about this, I will. But that's basically it. That's what I'm for sale for. Someone once asked me if I would completely shut down my show and how much it would cost for this. And I have an hesitation on this one. You would have to give me a lot of money to shut down my voice. But perhaps there would be an amount of money where I say, okay, I'm stopping my show. Colin Kaepernick accuses white adoptive parents of problematic upbringing, perpetuating racism. Unbelievable. This guy is annoyed by racism everywhere. He's always taking issue with this. Now, he has adoptive parents that have taken care of him. They have made his life possible. And he became some kind of football star. And he says he has experienced racism from his adoptive parents because he wanted to have those dreads type skull, whatever they call it. You know, these lines of hair that go onto their skull. And his adoptive mother said, what is this? He's getting what roles? That is the typical reaction of a mother to their children. A white mother will react that way to children getting anything fashionable, anything that's new that she's never heard of. He says that was a form of racism and that in reality, what she's told him, allegedly, because she says in her book, he's getting what roles? But what he says, allegedly, is that she said, oh, your hair is not professional. You look like a little thug. Nicholas Petrus says, F, shut it down. Did we lose a connection? I'm sure that we will reconnect because here I have a working connection. I'm sure that we will be reconnected in a couple of minutes. Anyway, I was headed toward the end of the show. Houston, do we receive the stream? Are we back? Okay, Rodita Sid says, we are back. President Biden unveils $6.9 trillion budget blueprint. It has little chance to pass because it's President Biden. It's what he demands, but the House of Republicans will certainly not vote for it. But it's kind of his demands which will initiate some kind of negotiation to see if the Republicans can give him some of the things he wants, and in exchange he would probably pass their demands. Ex-Trump attorney admits statements about 2020 election were false and is censored by judge. This girl, she admitted that, she sided with false statements of Trump. And she was fined by the judge $224 for taking political positions against the election with the election fraud story of Trump as an attorney and making false statements. I find this a total violation of First Amendment principles. If any people should be free to speak, it is liars, you know, who should be able to claim their right to speak more easily than most people in court. But for some reason, they give her a little slap on the wrist type of fine just to say you've been straying away from the system too much here. You sided with Trump. We're going to go after you. Mikronova says it must have been that guy that got JFG to go to a government link. You need to go through 9 VPNs before hacking. Everyone knows that. 9 firewalls, my guy. Okay. This person, it's not because you put a link on the chat. Don't worry. I am very well protected. It's not because you put a link on the chat that I click on it that you're going to get my IP, okay? I'm at a higher level of computer security than this. Of course, if I was to do this, give out my IP so easily, I would be subjected to DDoS. And I have protections that keep that from happening. Don't worry. Several dead in mass shooting at church in Hamburg, Germany. There are reports of at least 6 people killed in a shooting incident at a church. Local media have reported that multiple ambulances are at the location and the police are actively searching for the suspects. According to other reports, the shooting took place at a Jehovah's Witness Center. Okay, it's going to be interesting to follow this story and see what is happening here. WWE is lobbying for sports betting on its pre-scripted matches. That one is unbelievable. The WWE is now reportedly talking to state gambling regulators in Colorado and Michigan to lobby for legalized gambling on their matches. The catch, unlike sport, the outcomes of these wrestling matches have already been determined ahead of time. You gotta be kidding me! Don't make this happen. This will be such decredibilization of the betting industry. Don't do it. First, scripted matches. By definition, there are a lot of people who will be in the know about what is the ultimate outcome. So there will be a lot of people in the team of WWE who will be able to bet and be sure to win because it will go by the script. No, don't do this. That is so ridiculous. No. Of course, you're going to tell me, well, they can have rules that keep people in the know from betting. Well, certainly, but you can't have rules that someone will tell his friend and the friend will tell his friend, and like this, they can use that information to get rich. Completely ridiculous. Go away, says Jeff. If you can bet on elections, you should be able to bet on WWE. Well, you're not supposed to know the election results beforehand, are you? The CDS market reveals how to profit from the coming collapse of fiat currency. That is the last news item before we close the show. Listen, this is exactly what I've been thinking about Bitcoin being the anti-Fed. As told in the movie The Big Short, a group of hedge fund managers who saw the housing crash coming used credit default swaps to make a fortune. Bitcoin is the best asymmetric trade I've ever seen. So these guys have reached the same conclusion as me. As the world falls and as the attempts of the Fed to save it will be more and more violent in terms of in terms of desperation, Bitcoin is designed to rise in response to this just perfectly. And so to me, it is still Bitcoin. If you'd like to, someone was asking, JF, I'm rich. Where should I send my money? Send it to me. Send it to the Bitcoin links in the description below. I will be happy to convert your money into an infinite amount of show until I die. Bitcoin is the way to go. I'm super happy that I've got to know Bitcoin relatively early and I'm still with it. Cloud Warmer says, JF, join the WWE as the Flying Frenchman and we will bet on you. Then spam you with super chats. I can see myself dropping from the third rope, you know. That would be awesome. I kind of like the idea of doing wrestling, but I would prefer doing an actual match, MMA fighting, because performance and fictitious hits, I really don't like it. But yeah, it's a good moment to buy Bitcoin because Bitcoin has been dropping today. So I'm telling my friends, this could be your moment, you know, because we're at 20K. We've been at 24K for a long time, well, for a week or two. So now we're down to 20K. It's the right moment to buy Bitcoin, or you can leave it drop a little more, but it's a very good price to enter. White sends $11. He says, can we bet on when the next JFG Tonight show will be? You could bet on the particular microsecond at which I go live. Thank you.